Hey everybody, it's Paul Scheer from How Did This Get Made? I wanted to let you know that we have a brand new website. It's hdtgminfo.com. You can find out everything that you need to know about How Did This Get Made on that site, where we're doing live shows, where to buy tickets, what the movies are. Everything and anything is there. And I want to let you know that we have shows coming up in New York and Denver and in some other places that we can't quite announce yet. So bookmark hdtgminfo.com.
Now, I want to talk to you about a man who knows no fear of plot, story, or compelling characters. We saw Daredevil, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater, because you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am Paul Scheer, joined as always by my two co-hosts, Jason Manzoukas. How are you, Jason?
I'm good, Paul!
And June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
I'm great. Thanks, Paul.
We have a very special treat today. We have writer extraordinaire Ed Brubaker joining us. You might know him from the Criminal series, Fatale, Captain America, and Daredevil, which is very excited to have you. You are an expert, actually, for this
movie.
Yeah,
I'm pretty much an expert. Yeah.
So Daredevil, not a failure of a movie. We should say that right at the top. Like, as far as
you mean in terms of making money?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Financially, made a lot.
Yeah.
It spawned a sequel. With not Daredevil, with Elektra.
Spinoff.
Spinoff.
It's like it was a backdoor pilot for the Elektra movie series.
Well, there's two cuts of this film. There's a theatrical cut and the director's cut. Ed, you've watched them both.
I watched them both in the last 24 hours. Yes.
Did you lose your mind?
A little bit, yeah. They're both very hard to pay attention to. I mean, you've seen theatrical.
Real boring and slow. Like the fight scenes,
shockingly,
are so slow and clumsy.
The fight scenes look like it.
They date badly.
Yes, specifically, and this is the guy.
Both actors and fight scenes.
Well, I mean, the whole movie looks like. Like, there's a big fight scene between, like, Elektra and Daredevil. And that looks like they were not touching. They're not really fighting. It looks like they were just actors, like, tapping.
It looks like they shot the, let's just do it 60% right now to rehearse.
Right, exactly.
And they were like, hey, you guys know something? We were actually rolling on that. I think we got it.
I have to say something up front.
This is going to blow your mind. I know this already.
I loved it.
Holy shit. Wait. I don't think I've ever heard that from a human being.
What are you talking about?
I loved it. I enjoyed it.
Wow. In what way?
I enjoyed that scene you're talking about on the seesaw.
No.
Yes,
no.
It did. Yes, it did.
June, no.
The seesaw scene?
I love the seesaw scene. I love them together. Teared up when she died.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. I was hoping against hope she would come back somehow.
Well, she got a sequel.
She did.
She got a sequel.
I didn't even know about the sequel. I'm excited to see it. I.
Oh my God.
I really enjoyed it.
Wow.
And here's what I think I connected to the most. The fact that, and again, I don't know superheroes. I don't know the comic book world, but the fact that
you don't know that world.
That's not a world.
It's not a world.
It's
below tornadoes.
It's below tornadoes.
Way below tornadoes.
But what recently did you know a bit about gorillas?
She knew a lot about gorillas.
So do you know? You know,
I know
less about
tornadoes and gorillas.
There is a graph on our Facebook page that is kind of monitoring what you know about.
And comic books at the bottom of the list.
You were the target audience for that movie.
I did. I guess so. Here's what I loved. I love the idea that this superhero, and again, I don't know a lot about superheroes. I love that his power came from a disability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought that was so amazing and kind of beautiful, and that it wasn't this sort of like otherworldly thing that had happened to him or some.
No,
it's radioactivity.
There was a little bit because that was a
radioactive waste. The stuff that he gets splashed with in the face, and in the Daredevil origin story that isn't in this, he's like saving an old man from being hit by
a
truck.
I love in this version, his dad causes the accident.
How crazy is that?
Yes.
How crazy is, like, in this version they make it so much in the origin story of Daredevil. He's that little kid. His dad is the same. His dad is, and in this one too, like, they name his dad. had the devil rather than battling Jack Murdoch.
Battling Jack
there's
Murdoch,
such
yeah.
weird changes they make to the story. But regardless, there's an old man crossing the street who's going to be hit by the truck.
An old blind man.
Yes.
About to walk in front of a truck.
Who's about to eat. And Matt Murdoch runs, pushes him out of the way, himself gets in the accident. The toxic waste spills on his eyes, and he is blinded, rescuing somebody. But in this one, his dad drives him out by revealing he's a bad guy.
Yeah, right. His dad's tough. Like, I'm not, I don't do that.
And then he just
roughing a kid up.
Runs by Toxic Waste Factory in the middle of Hell's Kitchen.
And did you see, he causes the truck to actually veer and then get sliced with a forklift.
Yeah.
So the shit splashes on him. Are we allowed to say shit?
Yes, you can say whatever you'd like. This is not.
Keep it classy, Brubaker.
We're allowed we just don't like it.
I've said wet blood fart on this podcast a lot.
But it was.
See, I loved that choice, though, that it was the father, you know, his father betrayed him, and that's why he was running so willy nilly.
But it also seemed weird because his father betrayed.
He did run very willy nilly. He had a skateboard.
He had a skateboard.
Why not use a skateboard?
He could have skateboarded away.
Why was he skating up? Why was he skating down that alley? I couldn't figure that out either.
In the director's cut.
Oh, here we go.
In the director's cut, he shows up at his dad's work looking for him to show him his straight A's.
Oh, makes more sense.
Well, you do see his report card.
Yeah, it just splashes down there with straight A's and all, like, perfect attendance.
But that makes more sense.
And then he shows up at his dad's work, and the guy's like, your dad hasn't worked here for years. And then he immediately skates to where his dad is roughing a guy up. And I'm like...
See, I have to say, I did not understand that the radioactivity of the chemical was making. I thought
that's why he has the enhanced radar sensibility.
Yeah, that's why all the things come in so clearly. Like
I
that.
Just thought in my mind what
you
I
think
was
that
seeing,
all blind people are like that?
No, not at all. I just thought he was this. He had sort of committed so hard to being blind.
Wait, but he woke up in the hospital room and it was immediate.
I know,
he didn't have time to make that conscious choice.
There is a certain amount of...
But your senses do get heightened.
Yeah,
that is a reality.
Yeah. Right, but his get heightened to a superhero's level.
Okay.
Yeah. You know? And then the other thing that happens...
Most blind people don't turn into acrobats.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, immediately he was...
See,
he did the little kid wire foo, like...
Well, here's the issue. Stick? Like, how does he not get trained by Stick? Like, he trains himself.
Stick came in later.
Really?
So there was before Frank Miller, there was no Stick.
Oh,
the
okay.
Original
I guess that
origin.
Is, I guess that is how
he
I
just,
know.
Like,
it.
Learned how to fight.
Yeah.
By,
okay.
Like, because he grew up in boxing, you know, rings and stuff, or in boxing gyms.
Well, here, my issue with this movie is. It's kind of what a lot of people say about superhero movies, which is like, oh, I don't want to see an origin story. I just want to see him get into the action.
Yeah.
But they don't. They neither do an origin story to its completion, nor do they tell an effective criminal story. It's kind of like, it feels like the middle of something bigger. It's just like the Kingpin stuff is so like kind of slapdash.
He's in like 5 minutes of the movie in the theatrical version.
And he has nothing to really do. It just doesn't. I don't get what the villain is. It starts to really get together like an hour and 20 minutes into an hour and 48 minute movie.
The first time I saw this movie, I didn't see it in the theater because I was working at DC at the time. So I was working on Batman or Catwoman or something. But I knew people that had gone to see it, like DC had been invited by Marvel to go see this. And Marvel, the guys at Marvel, like Fox made this movie. It was before the Marvel Studios.
Even though they still have that cool opening.
They have the cool opening. But I remember like one of my editors at DC said, this movie is what everyone says is wrong with superhero movies. Like he basically kills a guy.
Yeah.
The first guy he goes after. Also, okay, this is a thing that
I
never noticed.
What's great about it because he's wrestling with this moral compass.
I love that.
Well,
okay, the opening court scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on there?
They're
two defense attorneys. They're representing like the rape victim, and the other people are representing the rapist. Where the fuck are the prosecutors?
Well, that was the weird thing. Was like, what is this trial?
And is this a civil case?
Yeah,
the OJ jury. He already got off on the criminal part, and she's trying to sue him, and they can't get that either.
And it's like, and then like Foggy, when they walk out of the courtroom, he's like, oh man, he hired a really good lawyer. That lawyer didn't do anything. He's like, hey, I object to that, and it's like, and then all of a sudden.
Yeah.
time he was off. Like, he was just there. Like, I mean,
did you love the comic book Dutch angles in the courtroom?
That was
the only time they had like dramatic angles, like Batman, like the Batman TV show.
The most static room, a no fight scene, just in court to like plaintiffs testifying. But that scene when he goes after that rapist. I want to talk about that scene, too.
What the fuck? I want to also talk about the scene. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
The rapist gets off on this trial, and he's flirting with a girl. He's like, yeah, I got off on that charge. Like, is that a good way to pick up girls? Like, yeah, I got off on that rape charge. You want to hang out tonight?
Well, he first in the...
Acquitted of rape.
He first... Yeah, exactly. On the stand, he's on... When the guy is on the stand, he goes, wait, what is... Oh, first I... Oh, he goes... He's on the stand in court looking at the woman who's accusing him of rape, and he goes... I assure you, she enjoyed every minute of it.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, what are you talking about? This is a guy who's a rapist on the stand, like, being like, yeah, she wanted it. I'm telling you, she was wet for it. Ooh, yeah. Oh, boy. Like the grossest of gross guys. I feel like everybody should have just been like, okay.
Yeah. He's 100% definitely a rapist.
Guilty.
He's a hardcore rapist. And I feel like they should have cut to the jury. He's going, I feel like he's not guilty, right?
Yeah, there was no jury deliberation at all, by the way. I was like,
and then when he loses,
and I will say that is what's you know, unclear about Daredevil. Like, it seems in one sense he's very suspect of the justice system and how it works. Like, he doesn't believe in it, in the court system, and yet he's always calling for the police.
Yeah.
And like that end of the justice system.
Well, that was
all the
what
time.
Was,
like,
that was,
it's not as though the whole thing is corrupt.
Yeah.
And he's the only vigilante. Like, it does seem like he thinks the cops can be of service.
I think the way it was always portrayed is that, like, Hell's Kitchen, everyone's corrupt, even the cops,
okay.
kind of, so the cops are on the take. But the idea that Daredevil, like, would. That scene in the subway when he's chasing Quesada.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's, like, strangling the guy, and then the train noise. Like, he's never... Like, he doesn't realize after an entire lifetime of this power that the subway train will make this the first time he's ever been in the tunnel, apparently.
It's so crazy
he's
to
in
me.
Fucking New York City.
That noises, like, in this, like, it's almost like Daredevil's great weakness is loud noise.
It's like his kryptonite is noise.
And it's sound.
Like, spoiler alert, we end up with a finale set piece on a church organ.
Yeah.
So that it can make as much noise as possible.
When Bullseye's banging the church bell.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Well, I want to also talk about, going back to this Quesada rapist. He does so much damage in that bar and seemingly kills everyone in that bar. And when there was only one person he was after, and he doesn't even effectively kill the rapist because he has to chase him into the subways. Like,
yeah.
A lot of people died in that bar that are seemingly innocent not committed a
crime.
They're
like bad guys. It's a bad guy bar.
It's a bad guy bar.
Okay.
From the comic. It's the bar where the bad guys hang out. I don't know that he killed them.
Yeah,
I
think they're just down for...
I admit, my eyes started to glaze over during that scene because I was just like, wow, there's a lot of stuff going on here.
And
I'm like, how is the pool table on fire?
Yeah, all of a sudden the pool table.
And then he's like standing on the pool table.
So,
on fire. And the other guy got away somehow. The only guy
he
came
after. The only guy
he
came after.
Got away.
Gets away and he chases him to the subway. They have a confrontation.
Not realizing that if a subway train comes by, But then he fucking kills him.
He lets him die. He lets him die. Quesada falls onto the train tracks.
In the comic book, there's scene where they're clearly paying homage to in the old Frank Miller comic where Bullseye's on the train tracks. And Matt Murdock is such a, like, justice and law guy that he can't even let Bullseye die. He has to save him.
Yeah.
But he's letting this rapist go.
Oh, yeah.
Which I agree. I mean...
Sure, I mean...
A professional assassin is worth saving, a rapist not.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
But...
Well, you know, apparently the director was really into recreating a lot of shots in from the comics. And there are moments that you kind of see that. But again... This movie is something that, like, you have this origin story. It's kind of like the first 20 minutes, half hour. Then you go into this rapist story that's kind of not, I would argue, not 100% tied to Kingpin. And then Elektra comes in, and then you're dealing with that. And then once, like, Elektra's father gets... we got to get into the Elektra stuff, because the Elektra... But it's like, there's so many parts. It just feels like you just looked at a couple panels of a page, you put it down, like, oh, open another book. Now, it just doesn't feel like anything...
No.
And is that character Heather who leaves the message on the voicemail?
Oh, my God, that's my
best.
She was his
books?
Girlfriend for, like, the entire run of the Frank Miller comic, and she ended up, like, committing suicide because he was the worst boyfriend in the world.
Matt Murdock's life is littered with dead or driven insane female love.
He is the Catholic guilt superhero in the Marvel universe.
And they cut that out, right? Like
he's also kind of a womanizer. When I wrote the book, he had an estranged wife and he started cheating on her with a private investigator that was working for them.
Yeah.
Well, I got a lot of flack for that.
She was estranged because she was in a mental institution.
That's true. Well, she had previously tried to divorce wanted to divorce him, and then he didn't send in the paper. It was like I inherited that marriage.
Heather did, even just from that voicemail, sound insane.
That voice message was, I was like, that actress is so happy.
The best girlfriend he ever had in the comics was the one that the girl from Grey's Anatomy was playing in the movie.
Ellen Pompeo.
Yeah. Her character in the comic book ends up becoming like a junkie prostitute porn star who sells.
Really?
Remember in Born Again? She's the one who gives the
I didn't realize that.
The best girl from the comic ends up having like the worst fate for having been involved with Daredevil. He's basically
poison.
Not a good guy
he's
to go out
poison.
With.
Poison.
Not in my mind.
See?
I said this to you, not to diminish what you think, but I think if the reason why you liked it so much is the romance really takes a center stage in this.
And
like, for every superhero movie,
chemistry.
The romance is really front and center.
Oh yeah,
and it sort of seems like they were like
it's a lot like the Notebook
romance.
The
well, yeah. So you read about this, like because when I watched both cuts, the director's cut, which is a half an hour longer. First of all, has an entire storyline with Coolio in
Coolio.
It.
What?
Yes. Coolio
playing
is
who?
Coolio plays a guy, a murder suspect / junkie, who is framed by the Kingpin for the murder of this woman, and Matt Murdock and Foggy Nelson defend him, and it's a whole storyline that ties all these plot lines together, you see Matt Murdock and Foggy Nelson actually being lawyers and investigating and meeting with their...
Because that seems like... And it also is a bigger payoff... From what I've read about the director's commentary, to tie into the Kingpin, it's like seems like at the end, it's like, oh yeah,
Kingpin's
hired
in it
me.
A this lot is... more.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but what isn't in it much more, and is there's less of it, is the romance. Like the scene on the rooftop when he's making out with her and he hears like a fight and then she's like, stay with me, and then they're making love. That scene's not in the movie.
They never make love
in the movie.
Oh,
like
wow.
They kiss and he hears it and she's like, I gotta go, and she's like, stay with me, and he's like, I can't.
She's like,
goes,
stay with me. I want to have the slowest
have that
sex scene I've ever had in my life.
To be fair, they did get married after that.
Oh, I know.
Yes, this is it. And
now,
by the way,
I think that may have been colored some of my viewing too, is knowing that this is where they found their love.
Well, people,
I am a shipper for them too.
Is this where she fell out of love with Scott Foley?
Well, here's the thing that people
that had happened when she became a bigger star than him, right?
Is that right?
I don't remember.
Maybe.
Guys, here is the here's a little gossip for you.
Oh.
When he was shooting this movie, he was still with J-Lo.
Whoa.
Could be a little Mr. and Mrs. Smith action going on here.
I feel bad talking about that.
It's
okay to talk about Matt Murdock cheating on every girlfriend that he's ever had, but Ben Affleck can't.
He is a sacred ground.
It's also interesting to watch him in a cowl here and knowing that all the drama that's going on with Batman.
Well, I want to
not
read,
a cowl, but
oh,
in,
yeah.
a, in a.
Are you going to read his quote?
I want to read this quote.
Wouldn't
yes.
The next
this is a quote. He goes, in November 2006, Ben Affleck stated he would never reprise the role, having felt by playing a superhero in Daredevil, I have inoculated myself from ever playing another superhero. Wearing a costume was a source of humiliation for me and something I would never want to do again.
Whoa.
But now he has kids.
He didn't have kids then.
Now he has kids who want to see him beat up Superman.
He's not in that costume very... I mean, you don't really see him...
And by the
him.
Way... that's a good costume. I think the Daredevil costume
it's
out of
not
all
bad.
Scenes
yeah.
it's,
I didn't
not,
like
it's more
it.
Realistic. Oh,
it's,
really?
I didn't like it, but
he can turn his head, which is something I've still never been able to accomplish in a Batman
that's
movie.
True.
Even after pointing out like, I want to be able to turn my head. He still never turns his head in the Batman.
And I agree with you. It does look very real world.
Yeah. It looks like a costume someone could have put together.
I will tell you what does not look real world is every sidewalk street corner they're on. It looks like the Seinfeld sets when the Seinfeld
go out
in New York.
I was going to say the same thing.
It looks so shitty.
Like a studio set, right? But it's downtown LA. It's downtown
some of
LA,
it is. I think
apparently.
Some of it was on set. So good. It looks so fakey.
It looks like How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, why really,
and I said that as a fan of How I Met Your Mother.
I wish
no offense to sitcom streets, but they are not the high budget that $80 million movie.
So guys, please don't freak out about how we're coming down on sitcom streets.
Yeah.
We're not trying to start a war.
HIYM fans, do not strike out against this podcast. We cannot have you guys against us.
Guys, we do not want to go to war with the HIYM versus HDTGM.
Oh, HI. Okay, yes.
It's
you're
Himya.
Right. Himya.
Himya versus Hidicum.
Now, why does he sleep in that
bathtub? He needs a sensory deprivation thing. And this is the coolest thing in the director's cut, actually. As he's getting into it, the first time you see him getting into it, he hears a crime that's too far away for him to get to, and that's the Coolio murder. And he has this vision of the murder happening, like, on the floor, like it's crawling towards him as he, like, sinks into the thing. And it's really creepy.
Ooh, that's more interesting, like... See, that's what you were missing.
You would like. I mean, you're never gonna love the Daredevil movie, right, other than June. but like, guys who've ever read the Daredevil comic are never gonna love that movie. But the director's cut is closer to what you expect from the movie. It's still got too many stories and too much.
Well, it seems
stuff
like a lot to put, like, Kingpin, Bullseye, and Elektra. Those are all giant characters for a first movie where you're not even really growing with the character, and
also. Did it not seem weird to you that the movie opens and then, like, within 3 minutes you're in a flashback that goes the length of the entire movie?
Yes.
The last 20 minutes are the only part that's not a flashback.
Yeah. And the other thing is, in that original, I feel like they were like, you know what, nobody's going to watch this opening with the dumb church and stick with this stupid movie. So I have a bunch of flash forwards where we see stuff that's going
to
happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In that opening scene where it's like, where you're coming in and it's like, and there'll be like little images that are going to be in the movie later. As if to say, like, don't worry. We know this is opening on a shot of a city.
Yeah.
But don't worry, guys. There's going to be fights and bullseyes in this.
It was really crazy, like a dumb way to be like, we got to keep them entertained. It's like, you just were 30 seconds into the film.
Yeah,
like,
they're showing you glimpses of fights from the last 10 minutes of the movie.
Now, what was going on with all of the medicine he's taking?
Well, he's hurt.
I think that was something that they added for the movie because they wanted to make it feel, because he's supposed to just be a real guy like you and I. But he's leaping around all night long and, like, getting in fights with people.
And by the way, he's not even leaping at certain times in this movie. He's, like, flying. Like, him and Elektra, they don't, like, they have, like, superhero jumps. Like, they're not believable.
There's that scene at the end where he's fighting Bullseye, and he leaps, like, 20 feet
up into the air.
And it's like... In the comics, he's usually like, it's a comic book. He leaps more than you should.
But he's got stuff that he's...
Yeah,
he's
swinging, like, he's
propelling.
Yeah.
They have that scene, I feel like they have that scene in Nolan's Batman, too, where he has to recover from the fights that he has, because...
he's taking, like, Vicodin.
He's taking Percocet was one of them.
I love the idea that he was just taking a million.
Like that?
They always chew pills in movies.
That's really, really upsetting.
Hey, have you ever taken a dry pill?
Never. And just chew it up.
And have you ever accidentally bit an aspirin? It's the worst feeling ever.
Guys. Was that in the director's cut, him chewing an aspirin?
Oranges.
Guys, have you ever pulled out your own tooth in the shower?
Oh, I totally forgot that.
What was that?
No, okay.
Why does he pull his own tooth out?
I have had a lot of dental work in the last several years. If you're pulling a molar out, you're going to the dentist the next day. Yeah, you've got to get another molar put
that
in.
That made no sense.
Like, he's going to develop TMJ problems.
Here's the other thing. If he had been dealing with that when you have pain like that in your teeth, you can't focus on anything else but that pain until that tooth is out.
Yeah. Unless you're Daredevil, man.
Yeah. He's able to block out tooth pain, but not the subway for his entire life.
Well, that, again, the subway was a shock to him. And I felt like in this movie, the rain was also a shock. Like, he's like, oh, the rain kind of helps me out here.
Yeah.
Like it seemed like that was the first
thing. He doesn't need the rain. He doesn't need the rain in the comics. Radar sense works. The only time his radar sense doesn't work if there's nothing to bounce off of. So if he's like above the skyscrapers, like falling from a plane, he would have no idea where he's going.
Right.
But his radar sense in the comic books, at least, basically he has like a 3D picture and he can see. The reason it's an advantage is because he can see what's in the next room.
Right. He can kind of see.
Otherwise, it would just be like, oh, he can see behind him too, which would be better.
I also want to talk about. Really get into the meat of the romance here. Elektra. First of all,
wait. I want to just wrap up the one thing about Quesada when he lets Quesada get killed, and Joey Pants' Ben Urich shows up.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, it's Daredevil. And they're like, how do you know that? That's an urban legend. And he goes, oh, I don't know. And he flicks his cigarette. And Daredevil has apparently left a gasoline double D in the ground.
Yes. Which, by the way.
I was like, what the fuck?
Is in the comic,
it
right?
The way it should be reflected in his glasses is the mirror image. But in his glasses, it's the forward image, which someone just pointed out is since it's a digital effect, that's a $10,000 mistake. Like somebody did not figure out the right way to put it in his glasses.
That just to me didn't seem like the Daredevil I know and love. Like I feel like he's not
he's not that cocky.
He's not that cocky. Like, he doesn't
when did he have that chance to but by the way,
also, if you're gonna be Daredevil and let a guy die, that's the time to not sign your work.
Yes.
Sign your work when you've got the rapist hanging from the thing outside City Hall with a confession. Like then you're like, by the way, this is done by Daredevil. Like
killed someone in cold blood.
That's when you run away.
Now, my eyes definitely glazed over a few times in this movie, and I'm wondering, did they ever draw the parallel of Ben Urich's, like, how he found out it was Matt Murdock?
The Kevin Smith scene.
The Kevin Smith
just from that he's able to figure it?
Yeah, because he sees, he meets Matt Murdock, and Matt Murdock is like, hold this for a second.
Right.
Hold this for a second. He looks at it and goes, nice color.
Nice color. And
then he sees it again. And then he sees it again with Kevin Smith, also a Daredevil writer.
Yeah, and then who, I guess, you know, wrote the stuff that the imagery was taken from.
And Kevin Smith is the reason why Ben Affleck is Daredevil. Apparently recommended him.
Oh, interesting.
Originally, the part was offered to Vin Diesel.
Really?
Yes. I got confused.
Bullseye.
But Matt Damon was one of the people.
Damon.
Yes, I had a few Daredevils. I got to find him now. But yes, here it was. Let's see. It was Matt Damon, Ed Norton, and Guy Pearce were all up for Daredevil. And Cuba Gooding Jr. wanted the lead but was never approached.
I would have loved.
I think
a
all
Guy
of those
Pierce.
People would have been just as good as Ben Affleck, except for Vin Diesel would not have been a good Daredevil.
No, Vin Diesel would have been important.
having seen him as a lawyer in that other movie,
Find Me Guilty.
I will say this though: I don't think that Ben Affleck is bad in this movie.
No, I don't think so at all.
We all are doing like, I don't think he was that bad at all. Oh, no, me neither. We're all doing high pitched voice.
He's an Academy Award winner, Jason.
That means we're lying.
it means we're afraid of him.
I would not have picked him for my choice, I don't think. But I actually...
He doesn't ham it up or anything?
No, he doesn't ham it up. He plays it pretty straight. The director's cut he's actually really good in, I think, because there's a lot more of him in it. And apparently that was the original studio cut that everybody was happy with. And I think that's the one that Kevin Feige, who now runs Marvel Studios, was working on this movie in a lower capacity as a producer under
before
Bobby
they realized Rad. That like superhero movies are the future and they
exactly. And before Kevin got to the point where he could actually be in charge and go, let's not just like, you know, let's follow the comics a little bit more and build our own world. But like I read something like Affleck had to wear contact lenses.
So he was actually blind.
In all those scenes, which is kind of amazing.
For one sketch in Human Giant, I wore those milky
contacts
because my eyes were supposed to be burnt out. And it is the most frightening thing ever to put things into your eye
that make you
and
blind.
Then you're blind.
Oh,
it is.
God. Oh God!
Could you see shapes even?
You're just seeing white. Like you're it's basically like white, like somebody just spray painted over your eyes. Like you can see white, but nothing else.
Oh, that's scary.
So it is. He did a good job.
I think that must have been what I really connected to, because to see a man be so vulnerable like that and to be blind, and he's also a superhero, to me, and maybe other women feel this, was like, what could be better? What could be better? Because he's also, I know he can see certain things,
and
but he's
like
not
a pro bono.
Basing his feelings on like women's looks either.
He's very Atticus Finch, too.
Yeah.
No,
yes.
Like took payment in like a wheel of cheese or something.
Well, my favorite joke of the whole movie, which is when Foggy and Matt Murdock are in their office and like they're complaining about it, people paying him in fish and cheese.
Yeah.
And like, and Favreau's like, yeah, I'm expecting Lamont from Sanford and Son to come in here.
Yes.
And I was like, that's a really funny joke. I enjoyed that.
Totally improv.
That
it had
really,
to be, right?
Yeah. Really
sounded
made me laugh.
Exactly like Favreau.
And by the way, Favreau, lucky to get two sidekick characters in Marvel films.
I was wondering, when I realized he was in this, is this the beginning of like him and Kevin's relationship that leads to Iron Man?
Yeah. You know? What did he do that got him Iron Man? Like
Jumanji 2.
Jumanji 2.
Yeah, Zathustra or whatever.
Zathura.
Zathura, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
That's
it,
yeah.
Because before that, his last movie was Elf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then look at the Captain America movie. It's the Russo brothers she wouldn't have picked.
Yeah.
And everything I've seen from that movie looks amazing.
It looks badass. So. Like
amazing.
I'm jazzed about that.
I'm so excited.
Well, let's not get off topic.
Yes.
We'll get,
all right.
But, so what I was going to say is, so the director's cut version, apparently, they screened that.
Mm-hmm.
And every woman in the audience connected to the romance and wanted more of that. And that's why they cut a half an hour of the movie and they added in the director's cut doesn't have like two or three scenes that are in the theatrical.
Well, because
they're all the romance stuff.
It makes sense because there's some weird ass shit in there. Like he pretty much meets Elektra and then the next scene he's like, I've always wanted to bring you up here to the roof. It's like, wait, you just met her. You've always wanted to bring her to this roof in Hell's Kitchen. Like there's a couple like weird connections like that. And then for me, I'm not as well versed in Elektra, so you guys can maybe help with this. It seems to me like where are her superpowers coming from? Because
she is a ninja.
She's trained ninja.
Okay, but is she
clearly
a trained ninja?
Yeah.
Is she a trained ninja before her father is killed? Because it seems like then she has like that little montage scene where she's just
in training. In the comic book, she was Matt Murdock's girlfriend in college, pre-law.
Okay,
even, and her dad was a Greek ambassador who got murdered during like some sort of terrorist standoff that was very similar to the Munich. Thing where it was like these guys seized the building he was in and he stood up at the wrong moment and got shot and then Elektra leaves and 10 or 15 years later she comes back and she's an assassin who used to be a ninja.
Okay.
And that's how she's introduced in the comic as Matt's ex-girlfriend who's now a bad girl.
She's a villain for many years.
She's a villain and then she goes good because she realizes Daredevil is Matt Murdock who is the one love of her life. And so she starts to become good. And in the comic, she actually dies trying to save Foggy.
Oh, really?
That's why Bullseye ends up killing her in the comic.
That
she
image
goes to
of
stop Bullseye from killing
to
Foggy.
That putting the sigh through her coming out of her bag.
In the director's cut, that's actually in the movie.
It's in the movie, too.
No, in the director's cut, there's a wide shot that you can see the back of her shirt sticking out.
Because they were trying to get a PG-13.
They're trying to get a PG-13.
Because that's like a very... And then
the violence is much more intense.
Oh, okay.
But that's a weird thing. Yeah. It's like you're taking images from a lot of disparate things and going, we'll recreate that image, but it's out of context.
So, they're very much taking those
images. In the world of the theatrical cut, so we're just to believe that she has these skills.
Doesn't she mention when they're walking on the street?
Yeah, that her dad sent her to a different sensei every year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's had kung fu training.
Wait, he goes, where'd you learn to fight like that?
Yeah, exactly.
And she goes, my dad, something, he makes me train with a different sensei every year since I was five.
But now
hangs a bag of sand.
Yeah.
Didn't you guys love all of her? I mean, that had to be her doing all
Wake
of that.
Wake me up inside.
Well, she was amazing.
Open up your eyes.
All the emo bullshit music.
Alias, right?
Yeah,
she was already kick ass.
But here's my issue with that character, and it's a big, big flaw, which is, and again, maybe I missed it. I don't think I did.
I don't think you did.
Bullseye clearly kills her father.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then she is blaming Matt, like she's like she's shooting or Daredevil.
I don't think she saw.
I don't think she saw.
How did she not see it? They're all on the street.
I know, but it's very clear that she
she's on the ground. She sees it go over her head.
She didn't notice when
there was another guy.
He throws the throwing stars as he's standing on the motorcycle, right. Which for some reason
yes can still steer. Yes,
I could spend an hour talking about just Bullseye.
Yes,
and the insanity that was this character.
The peanut on the plane or the pecan.
What is that?
Yes.
That was
also
crazy.
How do you kill someone with one nut? Was it a nut allergy?
She choked.
No,
she choked on it.
She choked on something that small.
It hit her so hard in the back of her throat.
That's what I imagined.
She couldn't.
As well.
She just died of shock.
He's a real jokester.
Oh, I kind of liked his performance.
I loved his
I thought it was so insane.
It was like hiring Orson Welles. To
I
play
felt
Bulls.
Like
he was so overdue.
I felt like
it
was like
loved it.
I felt
was,
like
I'm
he
a, he's like I'm a cartoon.
Yeah,
like you know, it's like I'm not, like he's like oh yeah, this is a cartoon movie. I'm a cartoon.
He has a move, which he does throughout the movie, that I feel like he went up to the director beforehand and he was like, hey, you know what I figured out? The thing on my head, I'm going to treat it like a nipple. So I'm going to like touch it. I'm going to touch it like, ooh, yeah. He multiple times like fingers the bullseye on his head like it's and he's like excited. That and the sound effect they put in for when he puts his jacket on, there's like a rattlesnake sound. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
He might have a rattlesnake in there that he throws accurately.
I would love that.
That would
now,
be amazing.
How does he get that bullseye imprint in the comic books? Or is it ever?
That was for the movie, actually. In the comic book, he wore a costume that had a bullseye right there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then when the movie came out, actually, my friend Brian Bendis was writing the comic at the time, and to try to make Bullseye match the character from the movie more, he had a scene where like Daredevil beats the crap out of him and then takes a rock and like carves the Bullseye into his forehead.
Really?
Which I thought was really badass at the time.
I kind of I don't mind that scar on his head. I thought that was a cool
look. That was
pretty
cool because you can't have a lot of people in costumes running around in a movie, especially when you've got like Daredevil's costume looked, you know,
somewhat real,
less ridiculous than you'd expect.
It was just red leather and it just was like a cowl, but not.
And Elektra is never in a costume. Like she never wears the signature kind of red
of
Elektra costume.
Yeah, she doesn't have her headgear or anything.
And Michael Clark Duncan is dressed like Kingpin, who
basically looks exactly like Kingpin.
By the way, best performance.
Great.
Michael,
so
I mean,
good.
When he gets his knees kicked out in the final fight scene.
Oh my
that
god!
That scream! That I want! Oh I want god. That image just frozen for life. Like,
that's somebody. Somebody make a. Is it a GIF or a GIF?
A GIF.
Make a GIF of that for Paul, please.
Just his knees being broken and that scream. That like that monster scream. But like he's an intimidate. I liked it when he went mano a mano with Daredevil.
Yeah,
but again,
well, that's always
a
great
fight.
Why is
he the one who kills Matt Murdock's dad? That's like that first the Keaton Batman movie
they
where
it
turns out the
it
Joker. It's like no, the Joker didn't make Batman.
Yeah, you don't have like, to tie it. You don't have everything has to be a loose end that you tie together.
They made a bunch of Batman references
town.
In this. I
it
feel
felt
like
Batman like a, with a boner. Like
yeah, well,
it felt like he,
I mean, like Daredevil is Marvel's Batman. He's Marvel's kind of human vigilante kind of character, morally ambiguous.
The street level guy who swings around.
But here they kill his dad out in the back alleyway, just like
but that happened in
just
the
like but I feel like it went down more like the alleyway shooting of the parents.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Then there are a bunch of bats that fly out of the church organ.
Oh, yeah,
but I was like, what the fuck is going on? This is weird.
They were this came out like right around the same time as Batman Begins, right?
Or? I think it was. It came out in let's see here. 1990, so maybe
what's
later.
The 90s?
No, maybe I'm wrong.
2003.
No, 2003.
2003, okay. Yeah. So that's around the same time as Batman Begins.
Yeah, I feel like they
must have been.
There's things, but you know, like how bad must you feel like if you're Ben Affleck and you're like, I got this good script, and then all of a sudden this is what it's become. Because like, the director's cut is better, right? You would
the
argue.
The director's cut is a better movie. It's still a bit of a mess. It's still. You know, opens with him starting to talk to a priest and then cuts to. In fact, the flashback is an extra 20 minutes longer.
Yeah.
Because it literally, it's
only
after Elektra gets killed and Matt drops into that church that it comes back to where the movie began.
Right.
And now, I remember the first time I was watching the movie, I literally called my wife and I'm like, look at this. This is an hour and 15 minutes into a 90-minute movie, and the flashback that started at the beginning of the movie just ended. And she was like, really?
Well, that's impossible. Well, I kept on waiting for the main narrative to kick in, too. Like, and that was it. I was like, if finally, you're finally, okay, now I know.
Now we're going to start.
Yeah.
Now I know. And it's like, oh, only 20 minutes to go. Okay, well, I guess this is it.
I want to circle back for 1 minute to the woman in the plane who gets the peanut in the throat.
Yes, please.
Do you remember that she's telling a story about a colored boy who's only half colored, and she's making
mulatto.
She's calling him a mulatto.
He's got a little bit of cream in his coffee.
You know, like,
wow,
that,
I did not even hear that.
Whole monologue.
Her
was
dialogue was insane.
It was amazing.
She deserved
and I believe
some
she
sort
said
of
something along the lines of like, he is doing pretty well for himself though.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like. It was an amazing. So I thought that woman was incredible.
Is that for us to be
she
like, well, she's a little,
Ireland,
she's a little racist, yeah. So it's okay
Time
that he kills her?
I
couldn't
way,
figure
she
it out.
Was on her way from like London to New York.
Yeah. And then more peanuts,
also,
please.
Also,
why is
Bullseye's
Bullseye first line.
Not in first class?
Yeah, Bullseye should definitely.
Bullseye's
Kingpin.
Like a multi-millionaire.
Yeah, Kingpin can fly.
He's like one of the best assassins in the world.
Okay. What the hell happens in that opening bar scene? What is he doing to that guy when he's sticking stuff?
Paper clips.
But the guy's throat.
Yes.
What
was
Does
weird
that kill
is
him?
Yes.
I guess a
that
lot of acupuncture.
I thought it was
like
just acupuncture. Yeah. It was like he's just passing out. Like
no, he
oh
kills
my God,
him.
He hit all his nerves.
But there's no blood or anything.
Bullseye repeatedly does what I would consider to be amateur magic tricks.
Yes.
Like he shows the guy a paper clip, then he puts his hand in front of it, pulls his hand away, and the paper clip is unfolded.
Yes.
And everybody's looking at him like, what the fuck's this about? And then he like shoots, and he like flicks the paperclip at the guy and it goes into his throat. And
but
I was
he
like,
has also 20 of them.
Then he has 20 more undone, unfastened paperclips.
Don't let him into your office.
Is
he a
like
big
the,
stealer of office
again,
supplies.
Again, you know, there are certain versions of this comic that I have read. And again, Daredevil is not. Does he do that with every? Like, is he? Can
Bullseye
he,
is Bullseye is deadly with anything in his hand.
Yeah. Okay, anything.
What's
he's,
weird
he
is though,
kills someone with a pencil. Yeah. He did do the thing where he rubber band paper clipped a fly that was bugging him.
Okay,
once,
so all right, so he's
anything. Anything
he
is a weapon.
Kill you
for
with
him.
A peanut.
Yes, got it. Okay,
but what's weird is he throws a card at one point, which is a Gambit move.
Yes, I thought that was so.
I thought that was really weird.
Pre Gambit.
Oh, is it?
He's used cards. Okay. Miller even.
Oh, okay.
The throwing cards, yeah, it was like, I guess
okay,
whoever created Bullseye, I think it was Marv Wolfman,
okay.
The guy who created Blade. I think he, when he was doing Daredevil, he created Bullseye.
Okay.
And I think he's thrown cards the entire time because
okay, that's
he
fine,
must
then.
Have known of Ricky Jay.
Got it. Because you know? I was like, I saw that and I was like, Bullseye, yeah, no, that's a Gambit move. But
Bullseye
yeah.
has become Ricky Jay. That's how he retired. He got out of it. And he uses it as his cover to travel the world to kill people.
He just Ricky Jay with bangs.
But I'm just looking through some of my notes. I wrote down that this movie feels like a shitty video game version of a good movie.
Yeah,
like it's like it just feels like I'm watching weird cutscenes, and they don't all
the
kind
sex of... scene. Could we get, oh, do we want to talk about the playground fight dance
yes.
scene?
A scene that took 4 days to shoot.
Really,
4 12-hour days were committed to that sequence, which looks like.
Garbage.
Like you said, like, it, like oh, let's just check through it. Let's walk through it. All the fight scenes look a little bit slower than they should be.
Oh, very
sure why
slow.
They didn't just speed it up in the edit.
That's what I thought, too.
There's it's a like, scene where he's it. Like, where Elektra's shooting at him after she thinks he killed her dad
yeah.
for some reason, and she picks up that gun and just starts blam, 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 and he's, like, running away and very
just,
slowly
yeah, just,
leaping
like,
up a wall. And I was like, that's the slowest parkour I've ever seen.
And if he was moving that slowly, you would 100% shoot him.
Yeah, she couldn't have missed.
He is
By
still
the way,
moving.
She's a ninja.
It might be hard.
She's a ninja.
But not a gun ninja.
Notice okay,
she's
yes,
really
right.
good. If she had thrown a knife at him, she probably would have hit him.
I buy that. All right.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not gonna, all right. That's good.
They have the dance scene. They have a meet cute where like they meet in a bar, in a coffee shop rather, and he follows her out and she's like, why are you following me?
Wait. But he senses her before she walks in, remember?
Yes.
And Foggy is like, she's hideous.
Yeah.
And he's like, that good, huh? And then he stalks her.
Yeah.
He
like
really
a,
does.
Like a real
Cold
gross
stalking.
Up.
Yeah.
He asks her her name and she won't give it to him.
But
so
June
he goes
has now
after
made
her.
Me know that if I were ever single, which I will never be again, thank God, I could just totally do that. And that's
only
totally
if you're
fine.
Blind.
Well, here's
what if I'm fake blinding like Ben Affleck was? What if I just have
just put in those links.
Contacts? Well, but then I'm gonna have to commit to that for an entire relationship. That would be terrible.
Somebody, our clip puller who does a great job. She actually cut. They really want to emphasize the blind thing, and she actually put together a compilation of how many times they reference he's blind.
They reference it a lot.
Yeah, have a listen to this.
They say your whole life flashes before your eyes when you die, and it's true, even for a blind man. What I saw, I'll never forget. Because it would be the last thing I'd ever see. I had lost my sight, but I got something back in return.
Oh my God. So that was all in the first 2 minutes. They just are always referencing, and then when he meets her, we can play that coffee shop scene. Again, they really hit it home. It's like, this is a blind guy. This is not the Ben Affleck.
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Sure.
I was just looking for some honey. Could you help me out?
Right in front of you.
Dick.
Well, could you be a little bit more specific?
What are you?
Blind?
Oh! That's how they fall in love.
By the way, have you ever said, what are you blind to somebody?
Yeah, never.
That is like...
She's kind of rude. Like, there's another scene when at the ball, at the big ball, she shows up, or he walks up to her, and she does look amazing, but she says to him, I really wish you could see me tonight. Well, he can.
That's mean. That's super.
I know you look great and stuff.
That'd be like, but he's already seen her in the rain. And does she know that? Does she understand?
He does. He explains. He explains the whole concept of his sonar.
All she needs to do is turn on the sprinklers.
Yeah. By the way, if I was Daredevil, I would just move to Seattle because then you get to see all the beautiful women all the time.
How does he see people in the rain?
It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. In the comic, he just sees shapes.
Yeah.
Right.
He sees the person inside.
Let me throw this out at you.
See, it's even more beautiful. I love that June loved it.
I know. It's amazing.
I was not expecting that at all.
I also recognize like the story problems and all of that, but I enjoyed it.
But it's so true that at the heart of it was a love story. And like, if Elektra hadn't been involved, would you have liked that movie?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
So, I don't think you would like the director's cut, because the director's cut is way... like more, it's just about being a superhero and the troubles of doing it, right. Kind of.
So they're talking about a reboot, and these are some interesting names been attached to it. Jason Statham has expressed interest in playing Daredevil.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Vin Diesel wants to play Kingpin.
Yeah.
And so someone had pointed out that maybe we should get the guys that directed The Crank to come in and get Nicolas Cage to be another villain. That's a movie.
Oh, I would fucking love
Nicolas Cage.
Kevin Feige has confirmed that the rights are now back to Marvel.
Back
so
Marvel, yeah.
They can do this. This is, I think, a movie that could be really cool.
Though. Do people not like this character?
Oh, no, people. This is like a beloved character.
And he couldn't figure out how to get it going at Fox, I think. A friend of mine was attached to direct it like a couple years ago. And it was just a situation of, you know, too many notes, too many different ideas.
It's such a simple movie. It could be done like the Batman movies, and it would be just as effective and really cool. And
be really easy. You do Born Again, and then you end Born Again.
Yeah.
But you do it like a different ending where you throw him in prison,
the reveal story.
Yeah, and then the next one is like Daredevil in prison, which was like my first story.
Yeah, that's how you got
Daredevil
him out of
prison.
Yeah.
Like, Daredevil's in prison with all the bad guys. That's never been done before.
That would be an amazing movie, too.
That would be a really great street level, you know, because Kingpin's in there and Bullseye's in there.
I would like to
throw the Punisher in, which Marvel owns the Punisher again.
People love Arkham Asylum and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
It's like that would be a cool movie.
Yeah.
And is there, what happened to Daredevil after his father died? Like, where did he go? I know he was training, but
they trained together, it seemed like. Right?
Yeah, training montage, by the way, where he's sitting and reading and his dad's just boxing on the roof, but somehow Matt also learns that whole wire foo. Like, he's sliding down. I'm sorry, like, just because you have radar sense, why are you a perfect like ballerina all of a sudden? I could not walk on a bar.
And if I knew where everything was,
does it too. He's like, I bet I could slide three stories down a bar.
I'm no longer afraid.
I'm a child. Yeah.
In the director's cut, do they try to explain that or no? Okay.
In the director's cut, that scene stands out even more because everything else. I mean, it's not realistic, but it's grittier. And that scene, and the scene where he beats up Tony Soprano's kid.
Yeah.
With the stick thing.
Oh, my God.
Like, How does he? I mean, he's blind. He can't be watching Jet Li movies.
Yeah,
how can he know those poses?
Yeah, he really is posing.
Yeah, he's like an 8-year-old doing.
He
like
just got it. He just
kung fu movie poses.
Well, obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but there are other people who had a slightly better opinion. Now, it's
June
time.
Was one of them.
June is one of
June
them.
June is this. Is are we going to read a second opinion from June?
This is time for second opinions with a brand new theme song.
Second opinion. From top to bottom, crazy movies are fun.
They're not your first, but they're gonna be a second.
From the depths of Amazon they come. Second opinions for everyone. Second opinions.
All right, so
did we get more theme songs?
Oh, a lot of great ones.
Oh, good.
I love that theme song.
Oh, we got new ones. Thank you guys for sending in that theme song. okay, here's some great ones. I actually pulled a few. This is from Ronald W. Knight. He writes, I love this movie, and so did my ex-wife. She never liked comics, so that's a great recommendation.
I wish I had her back. I wish she hadn't left me. Oh, sometimes I watch this movie and cry because I miss my ex-wife.
I don't know who I'm going to go see Guardians of the Galaxy.
this is from Dixie Elder. Michael Clark Duncan is strong. Whenever life is walking all over me, I just watch any scene with Bullseye and laugh my ass off and get back in the groove. 5 stars.
Wow.
All right. There's so many great ones here. This one, this is from Marion Wilson. This film's got to be the best action movie I've ever seen, barring Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift.
A lot of people come down for Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, really?
I like Fast 5, but...
Yeah, Fast
5. 5 and 6.
5 and 6.
I especially...
And 7, I'm just assuming.
Seven. I mean, 7 is going to be amazing.
Kurt Russell, come on.
It's James Wan, right?
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. I especially like Evanescence's Bring Me to Life video.
Oh, yeah.
I love
the
that.
The story is original, and I haven't seen any other films about blind superheroes. Have you? 5 stars.
Wait, is that the song that's played during the montage? Yeah. The training montage?
Yes.
Oh, God, I hate that song.
It's so terrible. And then here just, I got to keep on reading these because they're so good. Jake Edelstein writes, it reminds me that justice is blind in the sense...
Oh, my God.
In the sense that there's no discrimination against the rich and the poor, the mighty and the lowly. Unfortunately, that's only in the comic book universe. Rob a 7-Eleven and you'll get 15 years in jail. Swindle billions out of investors.
Oh, boy.
Plea bargain and a slap on the wrist. Wall Street needs a daredevil. 5 stars.
Amazing.
And
well, he's a street level character, so that he could just exist. Just move to New York, Jake Edelstein.
And then finally from Maxi Cat, he writes, forget Ben Affleck. That guy's getting married soon. Well, maybe not too soon.
What?
Anyway, see this movie to check out the spanking new Hollywood golden boy, Irish heartthrob Colin Farrell.
Oh my
this
god.
This man is as hot as chili wings in Palm Springs. Grindin'.
Plus,
he has the acting abilities of a serious, talented actor. That's the best. He has the acting abilities of a seriously talented actor.
Oh, my God.
5 stars.
Is that from IMDb from when the movie was out?
From 2003, January 30th, 2003.
Wow.
Why at the end of the movie, why does Bullseye get stigmata in the church?
Oh, yeah.
He's shot through the hands and strikes a Christ pose. And
yes,
has I was like, what
no
is this imagery?
Sense,
but they kind of pulled away from it, too. Like, he kind of does it. And
they basically make him a Christ figure, and then Matt Murdock literally throws him out a window.
Well, remember, they're doing the fight. After he kills Elektra, he starts fighting Daredevil and Bullseye start fighting. And then there's, like, a police chopper, and there's cops everywhere. So, apparently, that sniper was just shooting. It was like a police sniper just shooting at both of them.
But shooting just through it, because he couldn't see through the stained glass window.
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand.
That was
just
crazy.
Like, I'm going to take a shot. Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anyone in this church.
I think I got a shot of something.
And Daredevil,
I'm about
his
to shoot
radar
something.
Sense sees it coming, and that's how he...
It's so random.
Bullseye. You've forgotten those cops are even there. I had to rewind it like several times to get to the point where there were cops there even, because I was like, who is this sniper? Is this a Kingpin sniper?
And why are they,
Bullseye
matter.
Has backup for the first time in history.
And then also they kind of, in the theatrical version, they barely touch, like, the priest relationship is like, and it's gone. Like, because I thought in the beginning, like, oh, does he sleep in the church in this? Like, because it seems like he's,
The other thing that I loved was in the church when Bullseye breaks the stained glass window above him and catches pieces of glass.
Yeah.
like their plates.
Like Chili Willy catching pancakes.
He literally catches stacks of glass and then uses them to like throw and spin. And I was like, this is so stupid.
And this is in the era where they had already made all three Lord of the Rings movies and people knew how to do green screen.
Yeah.
Where you're reacting to things that aren't there and they're still having him just catch falling plates.
Well, there was something really interesting. They said that because Superman did such a good thing, they raised the budget from $50 million. That was the shooting budget. And they pushed it to $80 for $30 million of special effects to enhance the visuals. Which, look, that stained glass window scene really showed that off.
Yeah. Half the early stuff when he's a kid, when his dad is... I can't remember who plays his dad.
I forget his name.
Oh, I don't know.
I'll find out right now.
He's got a name that sounds exactly like another actor.
It's David Keith.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, David Keith and Keith David. I always get them confused. So David Keith is doing like a Popeye face.
Yeah.
Like, Matt, you can't fight people. But like all those scenes look like they're filmed on green screen to me.
Yeah.
Like all the,
yeah,
there's
they
like
did.
A hard line around all the characters. Yeah. Like it almost felt like someone was putting their hand on you and pushing you away from the movie.
Don't be connected
sort of,
to this.
Don't be connected to this. Don't be engaged. I'm going to tell you what this movie is about. And then at some point that just stops and he's like an adult and a lawyer.
Yeah.
That's why it's like it's so confused. It was like they didn't commit to just doing a Daredevil movie without an origin story.
Because
in a way I almost feel like I could go without an origin story. You don't need to really know. I think it felt like that's what they were doing. Would you recommend this movie? That's the question.
I did not watch the director's cut. Maybe I would do that. I don't know. I thought the movie, maybe it's also like, if you're a Daredevil fan, which I very much consider myself one, I was profoundly disappointed when I saw this at the time.
Yeah.
And when I watched it again for this, I was like, this is a bummer. It's a bummer because it's a missed opportunity more than it is like a terrible movie. Like the fight scenes are kind of boring and kind of slapdash.
If they were faster.
If they were more successful, I would maybe be into it. But it just doesn't work. So I would say no.
Ed?
I feel like its biggest failing is that it's not engaging. As much as when we're talking about it, it sounds more interesting than it actually plays somehow. And even the director's cut, I found myself glancing away at my computer to look up like, oh, does that like just...
It's
and
very
I
slapdash.
Had a hard time. Yeah. And like, I want to say if you're a Daredevil fan, if you want to see a Daredevil movie, you should look at the director's cut just to see.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that there'll be another Daredevil movie.
I feel like now they can do it
back
really
and they,
oh,
you know,
love
hopefully
that.
Do something with it, but it's still he does have that costume, and you see in the new movies like they're trying to make him look as little costumed as possible.
Yeah,
so I wonder how they'll pull that off.
I'm very curious, June.
I guess I would say 100% yes.
I love that.
100% yes.
I will say that I just feel like nothing is really given that much attention to, and that's the thing that's a bummer. It's like his relationship with Favreau's character, the reporter, Kingpin. It's like it's all pieces are there.
Does Ellen Pompeo have a line of dialogue?
No,
in
it's
the
so
movie?
She has like one where I think she's requesting to be his plus one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. She has three scenes in the director's cut where she clearly is really into Matt and not into Foggy at all.
Oh, okay, so that's the...
and yeah, and like she's offering to get Matt coffee, and Foggy's like, I'll take a cup, and she's ignoring him, and so she has like the interaction there.
Like, it feels like an unfinished puzzle on a table. It's like, oh, that looks kind of like if you put that together the right way, it would be cool, but right now it's just a bunch of pieces.
I feel like
there are better bad movies to recommend.
Well, here's the thing, I think I'm also coming at it as someone who's never heard of this character before, so I'm like, oh, it's really cool, I love this guy.
Awesome.
I've never heard of it.
What's hard about it, I think, is they're trying to include so many kind of pieces of Daredevil from throughout the years that they wind up
much in. It was a blender.
They wind up with nothing.
And they
wind up telling no story by trying to tell all the stories.
I think the issue is, partially, is that because Daredevil became Daredevil as a child, they got screwed because they didn't do like, they can't do like the Spider-Man, like young kid version.
Yeah.
They got to do the older version, but they got to pay homage to, like, it's weird.
Because he had those powers for a good 8 years before before his dad died or something. Yeah. He was like 15 or 16 when his dad died in the comics.
All right, so guys, what do we want to plug? Ed, what do you got coming up that you'd like to talk about? Obviously, Captain America is coming out.
Oh, the Captain America 2 movie. Yeah, that's sort of loosely based on a comic I wrote.
Your new book is amazing. Velvet.
Oh, thank you.
Amazing.
Oh, I have not read that. Yeah. I got to read that.
I would have brought copies, but mine got mailed to my house in Seattle.
How dare you?
But yeah, my new comic out, Velvet, which is kind of like a woman spy comic about sort of the what if Moneypenny was framed for the murder of James Bond is sort of pitch for it.
And it's Steve Epting?
Steve Epting, the guy who drew Captain America for me, is my artist. And yeah, that's out of Image.
Awesome.
And just that. And I can't talk about the stupid Hollywood stuff I'm working on.
Why?
Very exciting.
Well, I'll talk about it when we're not recording.
God damn it. God damn it.
And
you'll be very excited. June.
When is this coming
out? This can come out this week.
Oh, so Ass Backwards is out November 8th in theaters.
Oh, yay. And it's on streaming already.
And it's already streaming on iTunes.
And Amazon, I think, maybe.
Yeah, all VOD pretty much places you can find it. And
it's fucking hilarious. I saw it this week.
Thank you.
Crazy funny.
So good. Watch it, download it, do it all.
And that's it.
Jason? League, right, man?
Oh, the league, bro.
Bro,
the
league, bro.
Bro, the league.
Check out Jason and I in the league, bro.
Oh, bro, league, bro.
I loved your episode that you and Seth wrote.
Oh, thank you.
Amazing. So funny.
That was really funny.
Very divisive episode. Yes. Lots of love for it.
Really?
Lots of hate for it.
Yeah, my wife leaves the room when the league comes on. So I was like trying to tell her about.
So
it. She's
does
like,
mine.
I don't care. Like, that show's too mean.
Well, thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Ed, and see
thanks
you next
for
time.
Having me.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom.com. The wolf dead.
Hey everyone, it's Jessica St. Clair.
And Lennon Parham.
Hey assholes, it's me, John Gabris.
Lauren Lapkus here.
We just wanted to talk about one of our favorite podcasts to be on and to listen to, Improv for Humans.
I'm a huge Improv for Humans fan. I've done a number of episodes myself. A couple great memories. One of them was when I got to argue about whether bestiality was disgusting or not.
A lot of times it's you, me, and Mandzukas and Besser, and it's really old school, and there's something about not being on stage in front of an audience that makes you even crazier than you would be.
If I could recommend an episode to check out or a favorite memory from the podcast, I would say listen to some of the 420 episodes, because those are the ones I like to re-listen to, because I truly don't remember what I said.
Another great episode I loved doing was the Dan Deacon episode. I love his music, and being able to sit like 1 foot away from him and watch him create amazing music was so cool.
That's what's cool, is he gets people on for suggestions, often singers, songwriters.
Really,
if you're a real fan of improv, even if you've never actually heard improv before, this is a great introduction. You can't get better improv comedians than who he has on his podcast.
Everyone needs to be listening to Improv for Humans. Come on!
New episodes every Thursday. Be sure to listen to wherever you get your podcasts. But I recommend Stitcher. They make me say that.